Hey, gang, as musicians, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out songs by ear, but sometimes you need a little help. Well, let me tell you about Ultimate Guitar. Whether you are a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app for you for just $2.99. You get the chords and tabs for over a million songs on guitar, bass, or ukulele available at your fingertips. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, and more. Go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone and start jamming today. That's Ultimate Guitar. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you guys all had a great Thanksgiving and a great Thanksgiving weekend. I had a great Thanksgiving. Let me go back to the beginning of the week. I played on Tuesday night with my band at 1-to-1 Bar. Fantastic show. My friend David Garza showed up as a surprise with Samara. We had a great time chatting it up. Had a great time. He came up and played a couple songs on stage. Jeff Plankenhorn came up. Ryan Holly came up and played. It was a great time. A lot of friends. Good times. And then Wednesday, I packed it up, headed to Houston for the Thanksgiving. Family Thanksgiving. Hung out Wednesday night with the fam. My cousin Emily was there. Cousin Jennifer. My aunt and uncle, Chuck and Christina, my aunt Maria, my aunt Olga, my grandma, we all just hung out there and spent the night, got up the next day, did all the Thanksgiving stuff. There was a lot of drinking involved at this Thanksgiving, a lot. My grandma was sneaking around. My aunt Christina doesn't like her to drink too much because, of course, she fell down a little later, probably from the drink and also being 95. But she was like, I need whiskey. I need whiskey. And so we hooked her up. Maybe we shouldn't have, but we did. Hey, she's an old lady and she needed some stuff. I made Brussels sprouts and carrots, roasted Brussels sprouts and carrots. I made it with ended up making it with my cousin Eric. There's a lot of chopping involved, a lot of drinking, a lot of fingertips that needed to be saved. So I needed some help on that one. And it was a lot of stuff to do, but we had a great dinner, had a great time. And got to see Shy Beast on Friday, Saturday, went to their record release show with my friend Anar. We got to see the Shy Beast do their thing. Got to see this guy, Duncan Fellows. Actually, I couldn't see him, but I heard him over at Spider House. I heard him. He played before them. He was really good. I need to see if I can get him on the show. I need to find his management people. Or maybe he's just a guy you can reach out to. So if anyone knows Duncan Fellows, tell him I'm looking for him. And he should be on the show. Tweet at me, bro. I got a great show for you guys today. The band Marching Beauty is here. They have a brand new album called Starlight. It's available now. You can go to marchandbeauty.com for all your Marching Beauty needs or find their music wherever it is you stream and download music. It's great music. To me, it's got like this Euro, ethereal, shoegaze vibe. It's very, very great. It's led by Terry and Tim Dittmar, along with my friend Sean Mullins, my old friend Sean Mullins. All three of them showed up. Paul, the other guy in the band was not able to make it, but their manager, Sam, was here. And she was nice. She took some pictures. I'll post them on the Facebook. How did I get here? Facebook page. It's always nice to have a photographer in here, like a real camera. I was like, oh man, take some pictures of us talking. I don't get a lot of those action shots. But anyway, Marching Beauty, we have a great conversation. They're a great band. It was great to catch up with my old friend, Sean Mullins. We were in, he was in the second version of my band, Gaudi. We started playing together in the year 2001. He actually came recommended by my friend, David Garza, who said, hey, I jam with this guy, Sean. You guys should probably get him in the band because we were looking for a guitar player. And he toured with us. And then later on, he played with me in my band, Johnny Gaudi and the Little Champions, when we put out our album, El Payaso. And if you're a fan of my song, You Can't Pretend Forever, Sean is the guy that came in and played that guitar solo. Brilliant guitar solo on that record. Song was saved by Sean Mullins because I was bumming. We had different people trying the guitar solo on You Can't Pretend Forever. People were bending strings. I didn't want that on that song. I wanted something that stood out and was different than most guitar solos you hear. And when you need that, Sean Mullins is your guy. Marching Beauty is an incredible band. Their album Starlight is absolutely phenomenal. And Terry, Tim, and Sean and I have a fantastic conversation. Maybe someday I'll meet Paul. He's a nice dude. Sam gets in on the conversation a little bit. She was hanging on the couch. We had a good combo. Great time. Hope you enjoy my conversation with this brilliant band. Also, hey guys, you can catch them this Friday, November 30th at Cheer Up Charlie's, along with my friend Shy Beast, Moving Panoramas, and more. Go to marchandbeauty.com for all of your March and Beauty needs. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing, and enjoy my conversation with Terry, Tim, and Sean from the band March and Beauty. Let's get down. Great to have you guys in here. Your album's fantastic.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you so much.
I have to make sure that it's Starlight. It's a dash, star dash light,
yes.
Or is that just the song?
It's
okay, because I like the song too.
It's the album and the song.
It's the album title and the song.
Yeah.
It's the name of an old theater.
Starlight. Oh, it is? Oh yeah.
A drive-in theater.
Brenham.
They have one there too.
Yeah.
But they had one in Stephenville, where I'm from.
Oh, so, yeah. Where's Stephenville?
It is southwest of Fort Worth.
Okay.
It's about an hour and a half outside of Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah, small town.
Well, you were a cheerleader?
Oh. Who told you that?
Your bio.
Your bio.
Oh, God.
It's right there.
Did you like that?
No, I think
Sam
that was
told
Mark
me,
because
Sam and I talk all the time about you guys.
Yeah, Mark Fort wrote that. Yeah.
Oh, he did? Yeah. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
He's a big supporter of the show.
I bet.
The Texas Music Office, those guys really,
absolutely.
They retweet my stuff and like,
it.
Hey.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Anyway,
that's cool.
So you were.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of team spirit.
Did you know her then?
No, but she was the head cheerleader, not just a cheerleader.
She was the boss.
She's like,
turning
why?
This interview into the
That's good.
tell Mark not to put that in your bio.
I know. I should have read that bio.
You have to talk about it.
You have control. That's right. It's in there.
So you were the? Did you date? Like, was the quarterback your boyfriend?
Not
no one ends up in a band like this, though.
No.
That starts off as a
it's
cheerleader.
Bizarre.
That's why it is. That's why it's. That's why. That's where
it's
we're going to start with this.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
She didn't date the quarterback. I think it was the. Was he a wide receiver?
Probably yes.
Wow.
You don't even know what position he was. You just say like, "Hey, I'm the cheerleader, head cheerleader. I got to be dating one of the main guys over. When he, you're
Step
fine.
That's really
yeah.
good.
That's good."
Yeah, it is bizarre. I was a late bloomer as far as music goes. So
when did you thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah, stay on the microphone.
When did you
switch from whatever that trajectory was to like
Did
you become
say,
a goth chick? Did you have to go like real
not.
Far to the other
no,
side?
No. I was always in the middle. I started playing when Tim asked me to sing backups on, he worked at a recording studio, Cedar Creek.
Oh, yeah?
He asked me to sing backups on one of his projects.
So. when we were dating, she would sing in the car all the time. And I'd be like, man, you sing really well. You sing better than the people I was just in the studio with. And, you know, in the studio, invariably a band needs some backup singer. They need some oohs and ahs from a woman. And I would just volunteer her services, and that's how she kind of started doing it.
How did you guys meet? Were you were working at Cedar Creek, but
yeah.
What were you doing? If you weren't in music or anything, what were you?
I actually worked at the time, I worked at Dell Computer.
No, you were just
I
a
was
student.
Oh, I was a student
when you first
then.
Met.
Yeah,
where were you a student?
What year was it? UT. I went to University of Texas, yeah.
Yeah,
that's early on.
Did you cheerlead there? No.
No, I did not.
I wasn't
no.
being, I mean,
that
would have
been
a legit
awesome.
Question.
No.
Okay, so you guys met while you were a student.
Right, we met at Flamingo Cantina.
I was
me
there.
And Sean.
Oh, yeah.
In Boba Green. Yeah. So it was kind of a...
So you guys have known each other a long time.
Since
wow, okay.
92.
90s.
Wow. Yeah.
The end of 91.
Yeah. Even longer than you, Johnny. Isn't that crazy?
That's weird.
Yeah.
So that's a natural sort
it
of
is.
Progression. Okay, so how did you meet?
We had a So I worked at Thundercloud, of course. You know, it was like,
that's a, yeah, yeah.
Who didn't?
We were touring all the time, so it was a good place to work. Yeah, yeah. And a mutual friend of ours said, my old girlfriend would come in all the time, and she was like, "You got to get rid of this girl. Like, there's this other girl, this friend of mine you should meet, and I'll invite her to your show next time you play." And the next time we played at Flamingo Cantina, she showed up with Terry, and it's been ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Which was... Yeah.
How long? That's a long time.
95, yeah, 95. We met. And we got married in 96. Okay. And we've been together ever since.
Yeah. But when were you singing in the car and you got him to... You got her to
in
sing?
In 95. Just, 90s, we were dating. Yeah. And before we got married, she was already singing. And so it took a while to convince her to, like, sing out live, to do live performance, because mm-hmm. she sang in the studio for about maybe 6 or 7 years before she ever sang it outside of the studio.
Okay.
So she did a lot of studio work, and and I was writing songs too. I'm a drummer, but I also write songs, and I was like, "Hey, will you sing on these songs?" Mm-hmm. And that's how we started our band Annabella.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been doing
and you
that
played with time. Them didn't you or did you not
with Annabella? No.
How did I know Annabella though? Oh no, Annabelle. There's another
Annabelle
band
Chair
Annabelle.
Legs or something.
No, there's a band called Annabelle.
Oh, okay.
That was from Houston.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, we've been doing Annabelle, you know, off and on since 98-ish.
98, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For about 20 years.
Did you guys have a Boba Green reunion?
Yes. Because
I went on your Facebook and kind of, like, started doing a little...
That's kind of how this started.
That's okay. How this started, exactly.
So 4 years ago.
Yep.
Because that's when that was. Because
exactly.
I was looking at the date because I was like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And then I saw you guys did a thing with Dave...
Yes.
Through it.
Yes.
Good old Dave.
Good old Dave.
Right. That was our
Dave.
Last. That was our last. That was our last show we did. And after that show, Sean was like, "Hey, we should do another project."
Yeah.
And he has this friend Paul, Paul Stodinger, who used to work over at Sweatbox. He's played in a ton of bands. I don't know if you've met Paul before.
I don't think so.
But he was like, "We could get him to play guitar, and Terry could play bass," and
it was perfect.
It worked.
Wow,
out.
It was easy. Smooth.
And you guys made that first EP. Yeah. Where'd you make that? So you're an engineer?
Right, right.
Okay, and you have a studio.
Right, but...
You recorded it there?
No, we recorded it with Chico Jones from Ohm Studio.
Okay.
He works over now at the old Premium Recording, which was Bruce and Kelly Robinson's studio.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called now.
He bought it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
He, I remember when Bruce was selling that, yeah.
Right, right. Wow. His partner bought it, and he's over there with him. I can't remember. Why I can't remember the name of that place?
Mm-mm. I can't either.
Sorry, Chico.
No offense, Chico. But what about Starlight? You did that?
You
did it on three studios.
Yeah,
we did. So Los Olas Recordings is my studio. Uh-huh. And so we recorded maybe three of the songs over there. We recorded a couple of them on the road. I don't know if you remember John and Mary from Top Hat.
I remember Top Hat.
Yeah.
So they moved out to Knoxville.
Okay.
And we went out there a couple of different times while we were on tour and recorded some songs there.
So you guys have toured and everything?
Yeah.
What's going
up to Connecticut?
A little
up
mini tour.
Up to New York,
mini
tour. Connecticut, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's awesome. How much do you guys play on the regs?
We play we're pretty good. We play,
we
month, maybe?
Yeah, we try not to overdo it.
Out
we play
months.
In Austin maybe once every month or every couple of months, but we've been playing a lot of Texas, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Houston,
yeah.
A lot of Dallas, San Marcos, San Antonio, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to kind of stick in Austin for just a little bit.
Try
to start doing some stuff here.
Try and
play more here. We were just
here.
We were kind of like, let's go play other places where you
people
can get
will
a
like
good...
us more.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're not in Austin.
It's amazing. You play in Houston, people watch you and they clap and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. Like, that was neat.
Well, even that band Skyrocket that I'm in now, it's been going on for years. Like we've been doing it for real for like 14 years. And so, like, we don't play in Austin very much at
right,
all.
Right.
We just don't.
Yeah.
Like,
Austin's a different thing than it was.
I mean, it's weird. Like, in Houston and San Antonio, it's $25 a ticket to get in. Here, it's like $5 or $7.
Yeah, it's like free. It's
and
like,
you still get like, hey, man, can you put me on the list?
Right.
Like, if you don't have $5, you have no business even going out.
You're not allowed to go outside.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So where all of you guys been playing? Let's see, where we've
been like
playing.
In Austin or
in Texas?
In Texas,
yeah.
Well, in Dallas we play a lot. What's the place we play in Dallas all the time? Well, I can't think
the
of
Foundry.
The Foundry. Yeah. I don't know if you've played there before.
South Oak Cliff.
It's kind of like Schultz's Beer Garden.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
They have like a, it's kind of an outdoor place, and they give us food and they pay us, like, which is amazing. Like they we have a guarantee and they pay us. And they have a nice bar and they give you drinks and it's not like Lone Star. It's like whatever you want.
Oh, that's
we're
nice.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And so, yeah, we have to do two sets, which is a little outside our comfort zone.
Mm, it's long.
For us, because we normally just play like 35
How
or 40
do you
minutes.
Do? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you do, what happens when you do the two sets? You have to throw in some other people.
We throw in some covers.
Some covers.
Yeah.
Brown-Eyed Girl.
Brown-Eyed Girl would be good. That'd be perfect.
Yeah,
I was listening to
suggestions.
Your record, and I thought you guys would do an amazing version of Brown-Eyed Girl.
We have a cover actually coming out, Pink Floyd, Fearless.
Yeah. Is that?
Off their one of their first records, Icky Metal. Mm-hmm. Right, isn't that the name of
yep.
it? Yeah. And we play some other song covers. We pull out like The Church and Townes Van Zandt.
Fade Into You.
Fade Into You.
Yeah, that's a classic.
It is a classic.
You know that Marty Wilson Piper from
absolutely
from The Church was just here.
Oh, whoa!
With my friend Salim Nirala, and we tried to do it, and we couldn't. Our schedules didn't match while he was here, so I couldn't do a podcast with him, but I wanted to.
That would have been cool.
I'm a big fan of his.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great awesome songwriters.
Band. They were an awesome band.
I love that band.
He played with this other guy that I love a lot named Jules Shear, the songwriter guy.
Absolutely.
He did a lot of like just Jules singing and him playing guitar songs, and it was really good. It's good stuff. That's anyway. So I saw that you guys are playing with Moving Panoramas, and when I very first heard the band, my first thought was, oh man, these guys would be great with Moving Panoramas. There's a few other bands in town, but like they're one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we're stoked about that show, because it seems to be like the most fitting show we've been on so far.
Yeah.
Like, so for us, it's exciting, because it's like, we're actually going to play with a band kind of like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's always nice.
4 years ago, I remember saying to everybody, it would be great to play with Moving Panoramas. It was 4 years ago. Yeah. So I knew that would be a good fit.
Does that happen? You get on things, and I mean, you get on bills, and it's like, so mismatched, it's not even funny.
Yes,
all the
time. It can
happen. Yeah, especially like we play a lot of indie clubs, you know. So we're playing with a lot of really young bands most of the time, and you know, it's like a 20-year-old punk band that like kind of barely knows how to play.
Yeah.
There's still that, you know, because when you're 20,
still cool.
And they have a lot of energy and they're great, but you know, it's like. Yeah, we play a lot of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like definitely the mature band must. They're always like, y'all can play your instruments.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're like,
or we get off stage quickly.
Y'all were so fast tearing down and setting up. We're like, yeah, we've done it a few times.
Yeah, that's what happens after a little while. You're like, hopefully you start getting good.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't suck. It's glad you said we can play our instruments.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, well, you definitely can. So, do you guys, when you record, do you, is it piecemeal? Do you set aside time to record and set up and all play together? Or,
We set aside time to record. Definitely.
Like, a lot of times, modern bands of people that are over 20 even are sending files to each other. You know what I mean?
Yes. Lay your drums on it.
We do that.
Yeah.
Okay. We do that a lot.
We'll usually cut drums and vocals in a nice place, you know, in a nice studio. And then I can do guitars at home, and Paul can do guitars at home. So
a lot of times we'll do vocals or bass at our studio at home as well. Right. So we might go cut drums someplace else. I don't really like to engineer and play if I can avoid it.
I've noticed that from doing this show. The engineer musicians are like, oh, man.
Yes.
We need to go to another place with the guy.
Yeah, because they don't have to think. Yeah,
it's not fun when you're having to split your brain. Because then I've realized over the years, like, I'm just given 90% on both. And it's just that I'm frustrated. I'm like, I'm worried about the headphone mix or something instead of worrying about, like, playing drums.
Right, which is what you should be worried about.
Yeah. So I prefer to do that. And so actually, Paul, who's not here today, Paul.
That's for him.
This is for you, Paul.
It's for you, Paul. Paul actually, he loves to mix everything. He's an engineer too. He's been working, you know, since the early 90s too. He worked at the Sweatbox and worked with Tim Kerr a bunch and stuff. So we let him mix mostly everything.
Tim Kerr, who moved to Like punk rock Tim Kerr?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's a couple of Tim Kerr.
That's true, there is. You're right.
Like a Tim Kerr record, and then there's...
Yeah, it's punk rock.
Bad Mother Goose Tim.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. And what was the... Was he in the Big Boys? No.
I think he was. I think that's right. He was in the Big Boys.
He was?
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I think that's right.
I know he was in Bad Mother Goose.
Yes.
Here's the thing is, at least the Big Boys are before our time.
Ew, you know definitely. What I mean? Way before. Like,
at least there's somebody before our time.
That.
Before.
Yeah, that yes. And Willie.
Willie's much older than we are.
There's always that.
Yeah. So, did you go, you did a tour in support of this album, the tour up to Connecticut?
I don't think it was for this album.
It was the one, but it was the EP?
It was okay. Our EP. We kind of put that together over about a year and a half, okay. Starlight, touring and playing and doing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about that tour. When did you go out with another band, or did y'all go out on your own?
Just us,
old school. Went up to New York, played pianos up there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good place.
Cygnus Radio, who I have a podcast with,
right.
They kind of helped us get a few shows, and they have a thing up there called the Sunday Buzz in New Haven.
Oh, yeah.
It's a show at Cafe 9. And so we kind of went up there to kind of do that. We played a couple shows up there, and we also played some shows up on the way and the way back.
Mm-hmm.
We did Raleigh.
How did that go? How was Raleigh?
That was probably the least attended one out of all.
out of all of them.
But it was a weird night. It was like a Wednesday.
It was the Wednesday.
And nobody
show.
Knows who.
The
who
piano
we are.
Shows was right. probably our best show.
Yeah, pianos yeah. was a great show.
That's just a good club. It's super pro.
They know how to
yeah.
mix.
Yeah, yeah, sounds yeah, yeah. good. Yeah. Had a back line. Yeah. They have a professional sound person.
Yeah,
which makes is
difference.
Always nice.
It does. So yeah, that was fun. And then we got to hang out with John and Mary and record songs on the way back
in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right. And they have a beautiful studio and spread. It's gorgeous. They bought a big house, put a studio inside of it.
They have like 10 acres in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And they don't wait in traffic anymore, they said.
Dude.
Yeah.
The traffic here is very bad.
It's unbelievable.
I try to be normal about it. But sometimes I get caught like in it. And
yep.
it, yeah. like 45 minutes the other day to get here from 12th Street. In the back rows, like taking Pleasant Valley
oh
and shit.
Oh my God. Yeah. And that's with all the secrets being used. That is crazy.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It's not fun.
I was complaining the whole way.
but lightly.
We recorded some of those songs too with Curtis Roush from the Bright Light Social Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm friends with Curtis. I actually recorded their very first record that they put out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've known him kind of since then. And Annabelle actually played with the Bright Light Social Hour a couple of times, which was weird.
At Southwestern
and at the Parish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so we got Curtis to engineer like 4 songs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we went out to their lake studio and recorded
that
out there,
nice.
Too.
That was nice.
It was
cool.
fun.
Yeah.
Is your studio, is that what it is that what you do?
I teach full time at ACC.
Oh, cool!
So
right. Oh, yeah.
I head up the audio program.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, I'm actually gonna be. I'm the incoming department chair, so I'm gonna take over the whole thing. So
wow!
It's pretty crazy.
How about
so,
that?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a lot of time this last year to record bands. Typically, I recorded up to about 10 records a year.
Really?
But I've been kind of just doing like one offs with bands because I don't have the time for that kind of commitment.
What are some of the records you've done? Maybe
oh,
I know.
Jeez.
Bee Stung Lips.
Emily Wolf.
Emily Wolf. I did her first record.
Oh, yeah.
Her director's notes, her first record.
Yeah.
She kind of like, she was in my class and turned in gave me a demo. It's like, hey, I want you to record these songs. And she had like 3 songs. And I was like, these are awesome
she's unbelievable.
Songs.
Yeah,
she's incredible songs.
And I was like, you have 10 of these? And she's like, yeah, I do. And she gave me like 7 or 8 more. And the rest is history, and she's been kicking ass since then. I mean, it was way different back then.
Yeah,
director's
notes. Yeah.
I also recorded the Bright Light Social Hour. I recorded Murdoch's. I did a bunch of records for those guys.
Murdoch's, that's a Ryan Kano's band?
Yeah. He was in the band.
Right, okay.
Right, right. He was in the band early on. And so I recorded when he was in the band, 2 records. Yeah. Yeah, their early records.
Played drums in the Murdoch's for a little bit.
Yeah, actually, because when Ryan left the band, I was... I recorded that record. Ryan left the band. I got stuck touring with him for like a year and a half in a van. So it was like,
Let me ask you this. Because touring in a van is fun. We've done it. We've all done it for a long time. Obviously, Bobo Green, I never was in a bus.
No, me neither.
I don't feel sorry for me, but
just never
We never have. I've had to set up my drums every fucking time for since like that.
I've gone in and out of having people. And yeah.
Set your stuff up. That's pretty good.
But right now I'm in a thing where like when I play a show for my band, I have to take a acoustic guitar situation, a whole electric rig, and then also a piano thing.
Oh, geez. That's a lot. That is a lot. It
sucks.
Yeah.
Because so you have so many songs, you have to do so many different songs.
Well, I just made an EP and it was songs that I had written on piano and then like, I got this guy, you guys know Scrappy Judd Newcomb.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got him to produce it, and his thing was, he's really cool about like, okay, we're going to do this record, we're going to do it just like this. And so when you're like, hey, I want to play guitar, he's like, hey, remember what we said. So I just played piano and sang on the record.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That is good.
Yeah,
which was fun and different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John and Mary work with Scrappy Judd a bunch. They record a lot of his stuff, I remember, Top Hat.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy. It was a different sort of, you know, It's interesting going in, like when you guys go in to record, who's in charge? I'm just saying, are you in charge because you're the...
I'm not in charge.
The head of recording at ACC.
Yeah.
He has been in the past, but yes. We were trying to do the thing where he doesn't have to concentrate.
Right, right. But I mean, like, I know there's someone engineering, but like in the overall production thing. Like,
we all do that.
We all do.
That's good. Yeah. It's pretty That's good sure. when you're in a band that can do it all and everyone's
I'm not
cool.
a control freak good. As far as that at all. Yeah. I don't have any problem being like, hey, record your guitar at home, Sean, or whatever. Oh, it's not right. I just... Yeah,
I think that's why this band is so easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we try to make it easy.
Yeah.
And being grown up helps, you know?
Yeah, it totally does. No one expects anything unreasonable from anyone else.
Exactly.
That's what I noticed as you get older as a musician. You're like...
Just be reasonable.
Yeah, you become way more reasonable.
You do.
Yeah.
You don't ask for the sky.
But you also don't feel like everything's on the line all the time. You know that feeling?
Yes,
remember that?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you have the pressure and you're... Yeah, and it's like everything was such a big deal and you have to... Like when you're young, you really hold on to a lot of those, whatever they are, your pretenses, I guess. So you're like, oh, well, that doesn't, we couldn't have a pedal still on that because that's like country or something.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing that I've noticed is that the walls over the last like 15 years of musical styles, it's gone.
Yeah.
Right.
It's gone.
Yeah. Yes.
Like there's nobody that's like, I notice this in like Skyrocket. We play a couple graduations a year, and like we play all songs from the 70s and 80s. And there are some kids like you can see they know every word.
It's amazing
to every song that we sing. And then we get off stage, they play like new music, and that kid's singing all the words along with that music. There's like whatever like I'm indie rock. I'm not going to use a whatever.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That was huge in the 90s.
Huge.
That was huge.
Huge.
Yeah. And like,
but I think it was even before. Like,
I think it's always been.
Right. Metal guy. But now it's just like, it's a free-for-all.
Yeah. But I think it also took a lot more to be a metal guy or to be an indie person because you had to go seek out those records. You had to do all that stuff. Whereas nowadays, it's limitless.
It is limitless.
To all the different music, and that's why they can go
easy
from
access.
Easy access. They can go from a hip-hop song to a country song pretty easy, someone on their playlist nowadays.
Yeah.
And I definitely noticed that with the students even, because when I first started teaching at ACC, they're definitely like, oh, I'm a metal kid, I'm a whatever. And now most kids, it's like, oh, kind of anything.
Yeah.
And hip-hop's...
I love Black Sabbath and Rihanna.
Exactly. No, I know. And it's very confusing if you're... From more old school, because you're like, really?
If you're mature. Sorry.
Because it was not that, it wasn't like that.
No,
obviously.
There are divisions.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, like, remember Integrity?
Yes, I do. But that's out the window now, Johnny.
Remember? Like, there was like the, oh man.
I'm not going to do that.
Fucking revolutions in a Nike commercial? Michael Jackson ruined the Beatles.
Yes, that was huge.
Now it's like everybody in consultations in the Austin Music Foundation, even the most punk rock dudes are in there going like, hey man, can you get my song in like a Folgers commercial?
Yeah, that would have never flown before.
It's funny. Yeah. Have you guys done any of that stuff? Have you guys gotten your...
No,
or
not really.
Sent it out to those people that you sent them to?
I don't think we've tried that yet.
That's kind of our next.
Yeah.
That's what Sam's for, our manager.
Get our songs out there.
So Sam from Art Decade Creatives, that's what she's working on. She's like, y'all need to do more covers. I could make some money for you guys.
That's what she just told us yesterday.
Do something right.
Yeah, but you would just get performance stuff off of there. You wouldn't get the writing.
That's true, but at least you can kind of.
Big money's in the writing, though.
Right.
But you got to start somewhere.
Baby steps.
That's right.
I'm not a manager. I'm not a manager. I'm just a guy with a thing.
With a thing.
With a microphone and a chef. I like you, Sam. There's a lot of anger and tension going between
you. You made her do a spit take.
Before you leave, we got to just hug and just like let it go.
You will. It'll be fine.
She doesn't like me.
She's joking.
She loves you.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that we're all having a good time.
It's awesome.
It's great to see you, Sean.
It's good to see you,
it's
Johnny.
It's been so long since I've seen you.
It's weird because I do. I think about you. Seriously,
about
probably
you
every day.
Every day I walk by your face.
Right, and that really does it. Like when I'm walking, Christina has posters, you know, Gaudi posters.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you're always there.
How's she doing?
She's good. She's
ask
doing well.
Ask Gas Grass. Nobody rides for
that's
free.
That's right.
Oh, that ask was... Gas Grass or sell t-shirts.
That's what she that's what she would was. Sell t-shirts. Yeah. T-shirts. She was a merch person.
So when she got in the van one time, I was like, ask Gas Grass or sell t-shirts. Nobody rides for free. Remember those awesome. Bumper stickers?
Those were crazy.
Did you guys make vinyl for this record? Because it seems like you'd be a good vinyl
would
band.
Be a good vinyl.
We will, and I think we're in the process of doing a single right now. Yep. And we also have a B-side, and that might end up on a 7-inch.
What's going on with the single? Oh, you're doing it with Spencer.
Yes.
How's
yes.
he doing?
He's doing good. He's doing really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just put out an album, didn't he?
Yes.
He did. Yes. He did. Yes, yeah. He did. Very God, there's a lot going on that album. There's a lot of work.
It's
in that
kind
album.
Of a throwback to kind of more. It's very retro sounding. It reminds me a lot of my childhood for sure.
Oh, really?
It's got a lot of 70s feel to it and R&B and that kind of feel
nice.
Versus anything that he was doing before. He had like the Czech Symphony in it too and crazy.
Yeah, yeah, he's been working with those guys for a while.
Right.
Yeah. So
I got to talk to Ludek. We're going to go to what's it, Prague to do the Czech Symphony Orchestra. Ludek is the guy,
right?
He's still the guy.
Yeah.
He's the
arranger. His daughter actually is who did our video.
Mm. Helen. Ludek's daughter?
Yes, Helen.
She did Helen. She did a out of time video.
The last time it was just like I guess it was 8 years ago.
She's a youngster.
She's 18 or 19, now. I guess.
She was 18 when she
I was
did
like,
it,
yeah. She's a little kid.
She was awesome.
Young and talented.
She'd be like, cut.
Yeah. Well, I love your videos.
Thank you.
The ones that you have on the website are all really good. Which one
thank
did she
you.
Do?
She did Out of Time, which
okay.
is when we're playing on the stage with the purple lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Terry's in the pink.
Yeah.
Leather,
yes.
jacket.
Leather jacket.
Like Pinky
Tuscadero. Yeah.
Pinky
Tuscadero.
Pinky Tuscadero.
Don't date ourselves anymore.
No, we don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
I was more of a leather Tuscadero guy.
Yeah.
You don't even know what we're talking about, do you? Okay,
oh,
whoa.
Yeah.
See?
Sam
is on the ball.
So the awesome thing about Sam is that...
Let's talk about Sam.
Is that she appreciates... people from our era. That's what I want to say. Like
the music.
Like the music.
Yeah.
Like
all of it.
Well,
all
you know,
it.
I've noticed that there's a lot of that era coming back. If you're talking about the 90s.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
and I'm 50, so come on, got to do it.
Yeah. There's nothing. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with being 50.
No. Except for those damn AARP cards they send us. I don't like that either.
I gave them way too much play. There's so many shows where I'm just bitching to people about like, you're never going to guess what they've sent me. So I'm going to give my audience a break on that. But they do send them and they're intrusive.
They are very
intrusive.
They're very colorful.
They're offensive.
When are you going to start recording this thing? Spencer has a studio, right? Like with Jeff Botter or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nina. Yeah.
And Nina.
Yeah.
How's Nina?
I haven't seen Nina. I'm going to see her for the first time when I record. That's going to be crazy.
Good.
That's going to be nuts.
Good.
Yeah. We're probably in a couple of weeks. We're just kind of working out. He came out yesterday, actually, to our rehearsal, and he had some arrangement.
Little pre-production.
Little pre-production stuff, and kind of working on that. So it'll probably be in the next
couple weeks.
I think he hates me.
No.
I think something happened.
You could. Sam would know.
Oh, you work with him, too?
Mm-hmm. I'm also his girlfriend.
Oh.
So there you go.
I think he hates me.
Sam, take the mic.
I can't speak.
I mean, look, things come and go. Your neighbor's with someone one day. The next day, their girlfriend's sitting behind you making fun of you.
I'm telling you.
Obviously.
It's crazy. The first time I saw Spencer, I was coming out of your house on Avenue.
We used to be next door neighbors.
Yes. And I saw him just like run outside real quick and grab a shirt out of his Volvo. and then pop it on. And I was like, who is that? And that's when you told me who Spencer was. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. I just thought that was amazing.
I used to live on like Rock Street.
God, no kidding.
It was like Patty Griffin, yep. Anar, Jeff Klein, and it was all like one block.
One block. It would have been a great reality show, like a fantastic reality show.
MTV.
If I would have been able to film that,
it would have never worked again.
No, it would have been. No, you're right. Me neither. Just by being associated with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like that dude's production style, Spencer. He's always done great jobs with records, and his mm-hmm. records always sound really good.
They do.
Yeah. We're excited. Yeah, especially it's a single, and it's quite a bit different than the other songs.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's definitely different. Yeah. Definitely different. The one we're working on, it's definitely dancier and more, I don't want to say positive.
Yeah, it is more positive for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Not that our music's negative. I mean, most of it's political. I mean, how can it not be? Every time Tony tries to write a new song, this crazy man's in the White House, yes. it's like her brain can't not go to that.
It takes a turn. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm going to write about the sun and a beautiful day at the beach, and then all of a sudden it's like, fuck that orange guy. Like,
yeah, yeah. That's right. And let's program a nice drum beat to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that orange guy. Yeah, people, it's a weird time for that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It is a weird, so how do you guys write?
I'll usually come up with like bits of a song, mm-hmm. and then Terry will take it and start working on it, and then we all get it together and we start working on it, so it eventually becomes a song at the end.
You turn on the news for 35 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
She doesn't, yeah. That's all I need.
I told myself I was going to not watch the news because I thought I was getting depressed on Thursday from it.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was starting to affect me.
I could,
where I couldn't laugh anymore.
Yeah.
I was, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was one of those guys that watched all the seasons of The Apprentice.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh.
All of them.
Wow.
And every Sunday, I was so happy. It was like a very, a secret thing. I know. Because you know why?
Why?
I thought that guy was hilarious.
He is hilarious.
When there's no consequence.
Exactly.
Exactly.
He is hilarious. And then, I was one of those people when he came down the stairs in 2015 that was like, this is going to be awesome. I really was. I know a lot of my friends that were like, oh my God, this is going to be, because you didn't think it was going to win. You just thought there's going to do
a show,
a bunch of weird shit for a few months. And then like everyone's going to have a great time. And then he's going to go away and the real world would take back over.
No.
But now the world has to correct itself some way.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's really, I mean, do you guys mind talking about it?
No.
I mean, because obviously it's in your music.
Yes.
No.
I mean, I had a band when you guys came in, I was taking out the first 11 minutes of a podcast because they were like, we don't want that on our music.
Oh. Right.
Which I understand, sure. too. I mean, I'm not like a big political songwriter.
We're actually doing a video with, you remember Joe McDermott?
Yes, love Joe McDermott.
Joe's awesome.
So Joe's working on kind of a political video for us right now.
The Reavers, and he was in
Grains of Faith.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands from here. I remember I had their cassette. Man, I played with them at Cannibal Club.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I love those
guys. Yeah, we played with them at the Texas Tavern in the band.
Yeah. I miss that place.
That was a cool place.
Yeah. It was a great place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember Tom Bowie?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I know. I did the booking, so I had to deal with him. Yeah.
He had to call up all the time.
We would play after the
Cannibal Club.
Who played on Wednesday night? Oh, it was the hula dance.
It would have belly dancing.
Belly dancing. Belly dancing on Wednesday night.
Really? At the tavern. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they had college night on Wednesdays and Saturdays, I think, if you're kind of a college band.
Yeah.
Those are the nights you played. I think they only had shows two or three nights a week.
Yeah.
Because
it was pretty light.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the video that Joe's doing is, it's political for sure. It's a song called Sweet Grace, and
it's the first song on our record.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, it'll definitely get people's attention.
It took a turn.
It's very political.
In what way? Did Todd Wolfson dress up like Donald Trump he did in that other guy's video?
Did he? I never saw that. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's a nightmare in itself.
Yes,
isn't
it is. I'm trying to picture that right now. I'm like, okay. That took a while to get to that state, I'm sure.
He did. He played Donald Trump in who's that? He's Austrian. He's real nice. Ulrich Ellison.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, he played him in his video. So,
yeah,
it's just
give us a little bit about what's in the video. Is it news footage or is it you guys?
It's historical footage.
Yeah.
Okay,
protests mainly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Throughout the ages.
Yep. And starting from like Rosa Parks bus. Actually, before that, suffragettes, and then to Rosa Parks bus, and there's all kinds of things in that
We've
video.
We've seen pieces of it, so we don't know the full.
Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of gave them some of the images and kind of what we were going for. So it's animated, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Kind of animated.
Oh, cool.
And
it's going to be a mix.
It looks cool. It looks really cool.
He's a really good video person. I don't know. That's awesome.
You know,
that,
he went from Grains of Faith and became like a children's music guy for a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know him from ACC. He's been teaching up there for 25 years.
Oh, he has?
Mm. Yeah. And he teaches a class up there, promotion and publicity for the independent musician.
That's awesome.
And they do like a lot of video stuff in there. And so mm-hmm. it was just kind of, we just kind of ended up with him. Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
I think I talked to him.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
We knew he had the green screen.
Yeah. Green screens are cool. So you can do anything.
What's the new song about that you guys are recording with Spencer?
Go ahead, Terry.
What's
going on, Terry?
What's the song? Breaking Glass.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds actually political.
Well, it's a mix. Yeah. It always, that's what happens.
Yeah.
But really, I was thinking more of a car crash.
Okay.
And
it also sounds political.
Yeah. See, it all melts together.
It's a metaphor
really,
for
it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is.
That's it really awesome. Is.
Yeah. It's called Breaking Glass.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah. It'll be a fun one.
So what did you guys do any stuff for Beto? Did you guys go out and do some?
We loved Beto. We didn't.
I loved it. I voted for him.
We voted. We contributed money to
stickers everywhere.
Yeah. Put up some
signs
in our yard.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to play for him or anything.
No.
Yeah.
I think David
did. I didn't get to play for him, but I played a thing for him.
Oh, that's cool. That counts.
I wanted him to be there. I was like, what am I, the guy that's doing it, and there's this district judge is hosting it? Like, give me a break.
Right.
I did talk to her and acknowledge her while I was playing my set and acted like she was a judge from American Idol. And so I kept on asking her what she thought of my performance, if it was Pitchy Dog or anything like that. That was pretty good.
That is good.
That, and also it was so intense. The people that played before me were so intense on stage and so angry that I kind of felt like I needed to bring some levity to the situation. So I was like, hey, I'm here. I'm fighting to stop apartheid. This is a terrible thing. We need to free Nelson Mandela. Well, I kept on just saying like all these old things that weren't relevant anymore.
We need to tear down
You're not
going to
play Sun City.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play Sun City. No way.
I mean, it was weird. And we ended up with like a weirder, even like a, it seems like Wednesday, there was no relief, even though I don't know why everyone's mad, because really everyone won something.
This is true.
I think we did.
Went in the house. Was great.
Yeah, he did. Those guys
fantastic.
Won a thing. We won a thing.
Absolutely.
On a,
he came very close to winning, too. So that was great.
Yeah,
I think if you're in Texas, you've been beat down for so long.
It doesn't
like,
take
honestly,
much.
Like being a lifelong Texan, it's just like when your vote has really never counted. And then you see somebody like Beto and you're like, wow, my vote might count. And then you didn't win. You know what I mean? I think that's the hard part. Look at how much effort, because Beto was like
that guy was I was following
dynamo.
Him on Instagram and like Facebook, and it was pretty like
intense. Against like one of the most hated Republicans ever, and the guy with like no personality that's like a lizard
and
like,
won.
I mean, and he lost to that person. And like that's the heartbreak, I think. That
it's gonna take longer
like,
to get weed legal now.
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys have to deal with this is going to be the 50th state. It's not going to like
you're
this
so
is
so right.
It's going to be the last.
Like people are like, "Oh man, you guys got weed on the ballot." And I'm like, "Dude, they'll have weed on the ballot like in the year 3000."
I mean, I Oklahoma know, has
do you,
it.
Do you guys have they do?
Yeah, for
yes,
medical.
Medicinal.
Oh, for medicinal. But still, that's
that
a
puts
big,
it in the
yeah.
That puts
yeah.
it in the oh, sorry, puts it in the circulation.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you guys have any Republican people that you have to deal with on a daily basis? Not that you have to, but you know, like a family member or something like that you're like, and then they're like, yeah, you know what's going on is.
Oh, yeah.
My dad is like an Alex Jones guy now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he told me one day, this is the honest to God truth. He's like, you don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, what are they doing? And he's like, no, Bill and Hillary Clinton are bringing in teenage sex slaves for Jeff Bezos. And the guy from Google. And I'm like, really? That's what these people are doing with their lives? Like, it really seems like they're doing a bunch of different stuff than that. No.
Lolita Island.
Have you heard of Alex Jones? I'm like, dude, that is a guy that in the 90s, we used to get high.
Yes.
And watch him
on Access.
He was awesome.
Because he would be freaking out. It was just like fun to watch a guy melt down.
He was a blast.
once
exactly.
a week. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's funny because their thing is what I always kind of like gauge what's going on in Texas. It's like with my dad, it's like, oh, you don't understand, these people are coming to, it's an invasion.
Yes.
And I'm like, dude, they're walking.
Right, right.
And they have
no guns. Far away.
Yeah.
They have nothing.
They literally have nothing. They decided to walk from Honduras to here.
Yeah.
You're not like invading anything.
No.
You're just like, your shit is that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, your life is that bad. You'll walk.
That's terrible.
Thousands and thousands of miles.
To get away
from some
from
kind
that.
Of relief, yeah.
Yeah, and for a chance of having the American dream that we used to be, like, tout.
Or just living.
Yeah. Or just living.
You know what? I will say this. I did have an interesting sort of awakening to, because I'm, you know, the wall is like this big joke and build the wall and all this stuff. But there was, I don't know if you guys ever watch Vice Nightly News on HBO.
I do watch Vice.
They had a thing the night of the election, and they went to, like, they took three of the main issues that were national things in the election. One of them was immigration. I can't remember where the guy was, but he's on the border and he has like a ranch, and he's like, oh man, like, I mean, they just walk through all day, and he has like video footage, surveillance footage. He's like, look,
yeah,
I mean, like 50 people just walking through his fence in a line.
Right.
I mean, so there are some sort of things that probably some places that need to be fixed, but the way that it's presented and sold to us in this, like,
these
true.
People are coming out.
It's
they're
not
they're,
true.
They're
it's
criminals.
Not true.
Yeah.
It's not true.
No, it's
that's,
not true at
yeah.
all. No.
It's weird that he lies all the time. Can Congress stop him from, can they really say, like, hey, that's a lie now that.
Wow, not yet so far, right? They haven't done it yet.
Because the other thing, too, I'll tell you this other thing, and I'm sorry to, I mean,
no,
it's
part of
your music.
We're all into this.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the people that I've been around that are conservatives are doing it because of moral reasons and religious reasons. Like, whoever the people that voted for George W. Bush.
Right.
Like, the religious right or whatever. Mm-hmm. How can they vote for this guy?
I don't know.
That to me is...
That's the part that I'm like, oh, wait
so
a minute.
Confusing.
So, like, if someone says they're going to build a wall on the borders, then you don't give a shit that that guy, like, has, like, porn star girlfriends, and like
they're like, that's fine.
His wife is like his third wife or fifth wife or whatever. Like, aren't you guys against that shit?
Yeah, they should be.
You'd think
it's weird.
That part is the most mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Like, just
they stick with their team.
I feel like it is really is a whatever level of refined and hidden racism we have ascended to,
right?
That post Obama, it's just like,
yeah,
I don't care who the guy is, as long as it's not another one of those. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like,
no,
that's what it feels like.
It was, I think, 8 years of they're just like, I can't believe there's a black man in charge, and now we're gonna
what world
it's
do
true.
We live in where that's
I don't
a
know,
problem?
But
it's bonkers.
I don't know.
There's a guy that was totally moral. Totally cool.
Yes.
Totally awesome.
The coolest.
No drama,
and
Obama.
He told the
you
truth.
Didn't hear shit. We weren't. He wasn't in the fucking news 24/7, and we weren't like just inundated
the
with that shit
of the
over
world.
And over again. It's just like it's Trump is just like he's such a reality star, and so he wants to be in the news constantly.
Well, it's like it's
he
weird because people go back to his book and they talk about that thing where he wrote in his book like if someone even remotely looks at me cross eyed, I attack the shit out of him
right.
and bury him.
Right.
Like, who wants that as a president? It's gross.
Yeah.
I guess a portion of people that are angry white people
that
are like I am tired of everybody, and they're all taking it from me, but Donald Trump is the one taking it from them.
Yeah.
Like, the rich corporate America is who's taking it from them.
These
poor people are not taking shit from them.
No.
Do you know what I mean? But
no.
it's those people that, like, I mean, he knows that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows his audience.
Yeah,
his
does.
Audience, or a lot of them, obviously, are racist and misogynist and bigots and whatever, and that's who he goes for.
Yep.
And there's enough of those to keep him riled up to go from town to town every week.
Yep.
He goes every week. He's been still...
Like having rallies for himself.
Every
rallies,
week.
Yeah.
For a sitting president. I need a rally.
That's imagine if Obama every week had a rally for himself and was like black power every week.
Oh, man, that would scare them
Can
to
you imagine?
Death.
Sorry.
That would be nuts.
That would have scared America to death.
Yes.
Well, just the thought of it scared him to death.
It did.
But it's weird because it seems like the country is divided in half, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Doesn't it seem like it's like 50-50?
Yes, 50-50.
It's kind of weird.
Yes.
I know.
It's weird that there's that many people that haven't...
I agree.
Gotten the memo.
Right? They're sticking with the old school.
It blows my mind in 2018 that you have that many people that are that far behind that just,
Yeah. They won't believe the news, but they'll believe crazy stuff, like absolutely crazy things.
Like my dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like my dad lives in Miami. Mm-hmm. That place is going to be underwater very soon.
Very soon.
But
yes.
It's not global warming that's an issue with him. It's MS-13 like attacking his kids. And I'm like, do your kids sell crack?
Right.
He's like, no. I'm like, do they buy crack? He's like, no. I'm like,
well, then you're good.
Well, they're probably never going to come in contact with those guys. And those guys just don't go randomly shooting people walking down. Like, there's a guy walking down the street. Let's kill him.
Yeah.
It's white people that do that.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Right. Right.
Which is the freaky fucking thing.
When they're being like vigilantes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, growing up in El Paso, Juarez is the most dangerous city in the world.
Yeah.
It has like a higher murder rate than I think Fallujah did at a point, and Jesus. Parts of Escalade. Yeah, El Paso, right next door, is one of the safest cities you'll ever run into.
Yeah.
And it's like right there.
Did you in your is how old is Beto?
He's 44, 45. Oh, so he's about 5 years younger.
It's kind of
weird, isn't it?
46.
Weird that Ted Cruz is younger than us.
Yeah, what?
Because he looks so much older.
That just blew my mind.
Terry told me.
I did not know that.
Yes, he's 47.
He's 47 years old. Yeah,
Terry told me that last week, and I was like, you're joking.
That doesn't make sense.
I didn't believe it.
He's like one of those guys. Like, sometimes we play these shows with Skyrocket, and we play these rich people's events where they're having their whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's guys there they'll come up and be like, oh, man, you guys, man, you don't even know what it's like, man. Just wait till you get to be 40. And you're like, dude, I'm like, I could be your uncle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes the straight life makes you old real fast.
It does. I think that's exactly right.
That is weird.
There's something about living in our right brains that keeps us younger somehow, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sam, as a manager, are you going like, hey, dude, what are we talking about here? Are you into it?
Are we missing
anything? Sometimes a publicist will come with a band and they'll sit like behind me, you know, like where she's sitting.
Yeah.
And like I can feel it. And they'll be like looking at it. I'll look over and she's like, ask the question. Like, stop talking about the mall.
No politics.
We don't care.
I wanted to point out a couple of songs that I really love off of Starlight. One of them is the song Starlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I love New Old Stock.
Oh, cool.
And I love Sundays.
Yeah.
That's a great song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love all of them, but these were my specific standouts. Do you want to talk about any of them?
We're playing all three of those at our Cheer Up Charlie show on November 30th.
There you go.
We are.
Boom.
Right?
Yes. Taken care of.
That's your guy right there.
November 30th, Cheer Up Charlie.
November 30th, Cheer Up Charlie. And it's you guys, Moving Panoramas, and who else?
Sour Notes, Shy Beast, mm-hmm.
Shy Beast.
And Holly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shy Beast is good friends of mine.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, I like
good
that.
Band.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I love them.
They're playing right after us. Well, I think we're playing second and they're playing third.
Mm-hmm. They're a band that incorporates a lot of the same things that you guys do, except for they're a little more pop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they are.
And more straight up pop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes they remind me of the Cardigans.
Oh, yeah. Thought about that.
Mary Claire, their singer, sings with me. I have backup singers now.
That's lovely.
I moved up.
Yeah, well, you've always been
She's one of my backup singers.
Oh, that's
cool.
Yeah, we might have our first backup singer at our show. Yeah, Noelle Hampton.
One of my favorite people.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So she kind of volunteered.
She's a volunteer.
She is.
She raised her hand.
Yeah.
When Terry was talking about, hey, it would be nice to have. And she's like,
I love her harmony. She's great. Vocal
yeah, yeah, she really does. I've done some of those shows where you do a show and you go up and do one song with, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of that. I did one last night. but she's at a lot of those, and I always enjoy. I like the Bell Sounds a lot too. And Andre,
mm-hmm.
He's also an ACC audio instructor.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's been there for
great.
Like 10 or 12 years.
Really?
At least.
He engineered on my record.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know that, though.
Right. Congress, I didn't even put that together.
He's awesome.
Congress House dude. Yeah.
Oh, I know. He's a Congress House. I know Mark really well,
too. You know Mark, yeah.
Yeah, because I started at Cedar Creek in 87.
Right.
And so literally in 87, there were like a handful of studios.
Right.
And Congress House was one of them.
Johnny, you grew up in Congress House.
I my first trip to Congress House was when I was 14, but it wasn't a studio at all. It was just a place where dudes lived, and they had that. That cutting room was everyone's rehearsal room.
Right.
And then Mark Hallman had like an 8-track reel-to-reel in 1984 when I moved here. He had 8-track reel to reel that he was doing his demos on, but he'd still go to Cedar Creek and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was in his band before 1987.
Oh, okay.
With cool. Michael Ramos and
what was that called?
It was called Cry Wolf.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. That was, I moved here in 87, so it was
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And I got a job at Cedar Creek early on, like almost immediately.
That's amazing. Is it still, it's still here, right?
Did yeah, it's still here.
It's a great studio.
Who owns it now?
That's a wasn't good Jimmy question.
Jimmy LaFave was one of the owners, wasn't he?
Well, no.
Passed away. I thought he was.
So Fred Rimmer was and his family owned it, who owns SAS Shoe Factory. Right. They owned it, and I think Fred sold it to somebody because the console ended up at Firefly and Fisher, the old Neve that we had. And and the engineer, I think, Chip or Ian or somebody, they're the ones who run it. I don't know. I honestly don't know who owns it and runs it, though.
In your studio work and through ACC and stuff, do you ever get to meet Rupert Neve?
Yeah, I've met Rupert. In fact, we've had two students that actually worked for him that we got jobs for. But I met Rupert a couple of different times. Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
I still haven't met him.
Oh, he's pretty crazy. I think you met him.
You've met everybody else.
Though. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's here.
Yeah. He's in Wimberley, so.
Yeah, there was a guy that's a really nice guy. He's a lawyer, and he started this label, and he put out a solo record of mine, and he was Rupert's lawyer, and then, like, Rupert made these acoustic preamps.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is, like, I don't know, 14 years ago or something. And he had these prototypes, and he wanted people to go use them in practical applications. And the way that it was sold to me was like, if you do this, I'll take you to him and we'll hang out. And I was like, oh, okay, perfect. So I got really high before a solo show. And I thought I lost it. I thought I lost the dude's thing. And it was like totally prototype.
Right. It's like it's a one-off. Like,
oh, my God.
This could be bad.
And so then I finally found it. And then, like, Bobby was like, right, write him, you know, you got to write him your review. And I was like, hey, man, I really like this pedal. It was cool. And I got this email back. I said, is that all?
I was like, is that all?
And Bobby was like, dude, what you just wrote, you like it? And like,
that's it?
You got to say something else.
I like this pedal a lot.
It plugged in really well.
Yeah, I liked it. It was great. Can I keep it? So then I wrote an actual review of that. Awesome. I didn't know you had to do that. I didn't want to criticize it.
Right.
But then I realized that's what he actually wanted. He didn't want to.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Not an endorsement, really. He wanted a criticism.
It wasn't any endorsement. It was like Bobby was like, hey, I got a guy.
Yeah.
He'll check it out for you.
That is cool.
Yeah, we actually got an, up at ACC this last year, we got a Neve console for our studio, so we're pretty stoked about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, man, I'm excited. When are you guys recording the new tune with Spencer?
In a few weeks, I think.
In a few weeks?
December. Maybe a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, you're doing pre-production. Must be coming up.
Yep.
Yeah, coming up.
You're doing just one song, one off.
One with Spencer, single. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys feel like maybe that's a good release way to... Because the whole album is kind of...
Oh, it's done.
Yeah.
It's singles now.
Well, no, because you put out a record and it's like it's done in a month or two, just as quick as a single would be done, right? Yeah,
exactly.
And so it's like you could put out one song and, I mean... You know, you could do well with one song. Why put out 10?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And I think, actually, it's kind of easier in a lot of ways.
Because
then you can be like, let's just do one song. Do one good song every 3-4 months.
It's always relevant.
And you can also go out, because this is the way I'm at least for myself, I've been thinking like, oh, yeah, I want to go and do like one tune with this dude and one tune with that person, you know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Different ways, you know.
It
seems like it'd be fun. And
it's the way to go.
I think it's the future. I mean, at least for right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like that's what people are interested in. Because, again, going back to people listen to all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't listen to records usually. Like, I'm going to sit down and listen to a whole album is kind of over, I think, for a lot of people.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. Like, unless I'm listening to something for someone that's coming in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or unless I get a vinyl version of it.
Right.
Right.
I don't listen to albums.
Yep.
You kind of go through it and you find the songs you like, and that's what I do.
I've become I've become a modern.
No.
You've it's happened. It.
I know.
He's a modern now.
I refer to myself as transmillennial.
Yeah.
Because I might be my age, but I still kind of live like a kid.
Me too.
I watch TV on Netflix and Hulu, and I listen to Spotify.
Yep.
Liza, a couple days ago.
Sean's a trans millennial.
I am. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're in transition, baby.
Congratulations. Right.
Before you know it, we'll be 25.
I can't wait.
It's going to be amazing.
I'm excited.
It'll be like Back to the Future. Our AARP invitations will just start disappearing.
I would love that.
Exactly.
We made it.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
That would be good. I remember you telling me...
You'll be able to get a boner all the time.
Anytime you like. Just ready to go. I remember you told me a long time... Well, not that long ago. Well, a while ago. You were like, we're getting old, Sean. We need to exercise. Yeah. I remember you saying that.
Yeah. I do exercise.
Yeah, me too.
Not enough. Good.
That's what... Yeah.
Good.
It changes your
life. You look healthier than I've seen you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I am, probably.
How's your sister?
She's good. She had a pulmonary embolism, you know, like not right before her birthday, but she's fine. She's working just as hard as she did, though, before. So
she's a hard-working lady. You guys know her?
Yeah. Oh,
Megan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've known her since
she was... Oh, yeah. You've known her since the...
She was little.
...beginning of
time.
Yeah.
Since she was 10, probably.
Yeah.
I'm kind of waiting to... Is this whole thing... Is the Catskills thing still going on?
Yeah.
Are we going to move up there? When is that happening?
She's there, you know.
All the time?
Pretty much all
we
the time.
We stayed
though.
In her.
That's where we
you stayed there?
Yeah, it's a great cabin. That's
we hung out there and rejuvenated.
Will Sheff goes there to work on songs, so it's become like this writer's cabin, you know. It's fun. It's cold, though. I usually go every Thanksgiving, and I'm kind of glad not to be going because it is a pain in the butt to like fly into LaGuardia, take a train out to the Catskills on the busiest day of the year.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad to be in Austin for this one.
Good.
Although I love my sister, in case she's listening.
Yes, exactly.
I do, too.
Yes.
But her place in Brooklyn was so nice. I had friends that lived there, and we went over to her house, and, like, she opened the door, and she had that huge, like, patio or whatever.
Yes.
But when they walked in her apartment, they were like, my friend Katrina went... Fuck you! Like, seriously, that was the only response she had when she saw it. She's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
How do you sleep like this?
It's incredible. She still has that apartment. She still has that same one. She loves it.
I love it too, man.
Yeah.
Nice porch, good place.
Food everywhere.
Guys, everyone that's listening right now, get out. I'll put this out. I think I have two shows come out this week. I think I can put it out next week
in
the Thanksgiving holiday.
Wonderful.
Welcome, March and Beauty. Their brand new album came out pretty recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this past summer.
Starlight, available now at all the places where you find music. You can find them at marchandbeauty.com. You can see them on Friday, November 30th at Cheer Up Charlie's, along with Shy Beast and Moving Panoramas and many more of the bands.
Yep.
Sour Notes. Well, it was really nice talking to you guys.
Thanks,
is there anything, I'm missing?
No. You covered it.
Sam?
No, I think
Thanks.
See,
I like to check the boxes.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for doing the show.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks so much.
Tim, Terry, Sean, and their manager, Samara, all here. March and Beauty. See them this Friday, November 30th at Cheer Up Charlie's. Check out their album, Starlight, available at all the places where you stream and download music, doing your thing. Go to marchandbeauty.com for all of your March and Beauty needs. Thank you again for listening to the show. I hope that you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good extended weekend. If it was extended for you, hope you had I hope you hit the jackpot on Black Friday, if that's what you were doing. I don't know who hits the jackpot on Black Friday. Anyway, guys, I hope you have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Don't forget that you can find out more about March and Beauty at marchandbeauty.com. It was great to catch up with them. It was great to see my old friend, Sean Mullins. I love him. I miss him, and hopefully we'll be in touch more. Don't forget, guys, this Friday, November 30th, Cheer Up Charlie's, March and Beauty, Shy Beast, Moving Panoramas, and more. Go to marchandbeauty.com for all of your March and Beauty needs. All right. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.